To the rest of the country, it's always summer in Hawaii, but it's in summer that many families and other visitors arrive on Hawaii's shores. The condition of those shores on Maui and Kauai were tested recently this month by the Surfrider Foundation's Blue Water Task Force. Stuart Coleman is the foundation's Hawaii coordinator, and we called him to get some comparison of the results, at least so far. Aloha, Stuart.
Aloha, Bethann.
So we saw that Kauai and Maui were tested by the Blue Water Task Force. What about Oahu? Is that being tested now?
You know, we are revamping the Blue Water Task Force for Oahu and also doing a much bigger in-depth study of water quality around the island.
So how will that compare to the way it's been done in past?
You know, the we are working with the EPA, and we're testing each shore. We'll have test sites on the north, east, west, and south shores. And we're looking for more than just, bacteria testing for, human fecal matter. But we're looking also for, we've got like over 100 pollutants that we're going to be kind of trying to trace and figure out the worst offenders. And maybe possible sources of where they're coming from.
When you talk about some of those worst offenders in the report that we saw from this month that that you produced for Kauai, that showed pretty high bacterial content of the Enterococcus for 15 of the 31 sites. If you're now shifting how you're looking at Hawaii, how do you make the entire report and the way that we're asked to look at the islands consistent with each other?
You know, we're going to be using the same methods for the Blue Water Task Force, so it'll be very much the same, and it's the same that DOH is currently using it that the EPA mandates. But this other test is apart from that, and so that'll be looking into other sources of pollution. And it's important to remember the two biggest sources of water pollution in Hawaii, and in particular, and then across the country, are stormwater runoff. And we helped pass a bill that allows the counties to do more kind of green infrastructure to capture that. Because what most people don't realize is that after every heavy rain, all that water just collects all the pollutants from pesticides and herbicides and from farms and yards to oils and heavy metals and gas and pet waste, and it goes all into the storm drains and into the ocean. So that's the number one source. The secondary source is, in Hawaii in particular, is from cesspools, because we have the highest number of cesspools in the country, and more than 90,000. But the good news is that we've worked with the legislature, and we're expanding and increasing the tax break that allows homeowners to upgrade their cesspools to a septic or aerobic treatment unit, or even hook up to sewer. And so that's expected to be passed and signed by the governor soon.
As you have these other efforts moving forward, though, how would you encourage people to look at the report that we've just seen from the Blue Water Task Force, both on Maui, which looked much better than Kauai, but especially for Kauai?
Yeah, it's. I think the most important thing is that the Blue Water Task Force is done by volunteers. They're all volunteers working with the Surfrider Foundation who take time out to sample these areas that are, either directly in the ocean or stream mouths right before the ocean. And Kauai happens, even though we think of it, it's very ironic, as the most pristine island in terms of, development and not as much of a population. They have a lot of cesspools, and they're near rivers that carry it down and leach into the waterways. And And so one of the things we're really trying to emphasize, and we've been working with the Department of Health and the Clean Water Branch, is posting signs. And so some of your listeners might have seen new signs that are being posted around, and then also doing better public notification of educating locals and tourists about why it's important to know before you go, basically to know what the water quality is, so that after a heavy rain, we just really want to make it common sense knowledge that you don't want to go out into the water, and especially anywhere near a river mouth, within at least 24 to 48 hours.
You mentioned the Department of Health and the Clean Water Branch. It also obviously is doing testing, as you are also saying that the trying to make what the Blue Water Task Force is doing in some ways consistent with the Department of Health. How then do you compare some of those numbers as they've, you know, not necessarily been as consistent, and given the changes that we've seen with the EPA and other changes that may come down, are you also concerned that all of these testing may not necessarily be supported by the EPA as we go forward?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest threat right now is that the Trump administration is threatening to, cut off almost all funding for UHC grant, with whom we're partnering, and for the Beach Act, which gives, all these coastal communities across the country the primary funds they need to do this water quality testing work. So, water quality was something that Surf Rider was founded on, that and beach access. But it was kind of a somewhat lesser issue over the years, until literally in the last 3 years, it's become one of the top issues that everybody is concerned about and talking about. So it's been kind of elevated, and now that it's in threat of being cut off, we're really worried about losing funding for these operations.
Are you already starting to consider a contingency plan if, in fact, some of that funding goes away? Clearly, Hawaii is very dependent upon its water quality, and not just for tourists.
Yeah, exactly. And the case in Flint, Michigan, really kind of brought home how important our water quality is. And so one of the things we're doing is we have an action alert. If you go to surfrider.org, you can sign up to petition the government to say, look, we have to restore funding to the EPA and for these environmental programs. This isn't partisan. This is just pure protection of the environment, which we all depend on. So, that's something we're doing nationally and regionally and locally. And it also brings home the need that we do need these citizen science efforts, even for small nonprofits like the Surf Rider, with our volunteers just doing the citizen science, becoming more aware in case the funding is cut.
Are you actively looking for more volunteers to be able to go out and test more sites around Oahu in particular?
We are. We're ramping up the Blue Water Task Force just in case, like I said, the funding is cut, and we've got an amazing team of dedicated volunteers who are going to, start going around the island collecting samples and analyzing them to supplement what the Department of Health is doing, but also in case some of their funding is cut. And it's also to enforce what DOH was doing, because they were working with them, but they weren't posting signs and in polluted areas and doing public notification. But they've made a lot of big strides to improving that.
It seems that you're trying to bring together a lot of these efforts to ensure that they can continue. But as you talk about, citizen scientists going out there and collecting the samples, all of the testing, though, will be standardized, I take it, and so that way it will be reliable information?
Absolutely, yeah. So we're working with the Department of Health's Clean Water Branch, and we have a quality assurance program that is in line with them, and we've been working. That's partly why it's taken so long, that we're just trying to do it exactly the same and make sure that it's 100% reliable.
Well, we'll look forward to seeing those results that come back from Oahu, and thanks very much for giving us some time today.
Mahalo, Beth Ann. Thanks for sharing this important issue.
Stuart Coleman is the Hawaii coordinator for the Surf Rider Foundation. The Blue Water Task Force is the Surf Rider Foundation's volunteer-run water testing, education, and advocacy program.